The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 529. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, it's time for another installment of the State of Pro Wrestling, where my partner, Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos, is joining me to talk about the state of pro wrestling, covering all of the news that's fit to report, including lots of WWE and AEW happenings going on over the last couple of weeks that we're going to cover. So it's going to be a really great, fun, wrestling-centered episode like we do every single month. And I'd like to thank, of course, the newest sponsor of the PVD Cast, Courtney 614 Deals. If you need great deals on women's fashions, health and beauty, or a myriad of other products, look no further than Courtney 614 Deals. You can find her on all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Facebook Marketplace, Poshmark. Simply look for Courtney, spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614 Deals, wherever you do your shopping. And if you pick something up from her, please let her know that you heard about her endeavors from right here on the PVD Cast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to keep this short so that we can get to a great conversation about professional wrestling. So with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos talking about the state of pro wrestling.
And we're back with another episode of the State of Pro Wrestling right here for the Pop Culture Cosmos, the PVD Cast, all those great things that you need to support in our lives. Let's start off with John Orlando's great sites, including the PVD Cast and, of course, Matt Talk. Go ahead and catch his shows each and every time out right there, wherever you get your podcast. For me, it is the Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week. Twice a week, the Lakers Fast Break, Lakers' latest inside sports, fantasy football, and more. Go ahead and make sure you catch all that, including the State of Pro Wrestling, right here by liking, subscribing, and make sure you go ahead and follow us and give us that 5-star review for all of our shows as well. But it wouldn't be a State of Pro Wrestling without my tag team partner extraordinaire. He steps into the ring with me at a combined weight of unknown, from parts unknown. It is, of course, John Orlando. What's up, man?
Not much. How are you been?
I've been okay. Getting busy as far as the summer months here in Vegas. We have got the shine, or actually, I should say, the stench of WrestleMania. Because again, if you ever hear anyone say anything positive at the corporate level about the Vegas WrestleMania, which is, okay, I understand it was not as well attended as previous WrestleManias or the previous WrestleMania, but it will still go down in the history as one of the top 10, if not one of the top 5 grossing all-time WrestleManias there, including especially in the merchandise section and things of that nature. I can't say that's too bad. Now, mind you, would they have done better in New Orleans? Perhaps. Would they have done better in London? Perhaps. And we've advocated for that. But, everywhere where I heard people piss and moan because as far as, it was so much worse, blah, 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 blah. You know what? night two was a great night in and of itself. And I'm just was happy that it took place in Las Vegas. I enjoyed night one. I know no one else did. I told you my reasons why. So the WrestleMania is now in the rearview mirror, but now is the ultimate part of what we see with the WWE is how well can they keep any kind of momentum in the summer months, John?
Yeah, that's going to be the big question. And I got to be honest with you, within the last couple of weeks of WWE programming, I'm a little bit skeptical about keeping that momentum because there's some things that they have been doing on Raw and SmackDown that I shake my head at. I don't understand. And, you know, I don't know if we want to get into it or not, but I mean, there's several questionable storylines that I don't think has legs. And that's just over the last couple of weeks that this has started. So I don't know. I have some concerns about that momentum. I think we're going to see a shift to where the WWE is going to have a lot of people complaining about the booking.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, I've got something better for you for the summer months. You and I are going to go into training because we're going to go ahead and face each other in the ring in an MMA match. We're going to go on Netflix. We're going to go all out on this. Jake Paul's going to go ahead and sponsor the deal with his MVP promotions. We're going to go all out on this, my friend. It's going to get tens of millions of viewers. And you want to know what? I bet you our match could last longer than 17 seconds, which is how much we should actually devote to this topic. But we're going to devote more than 17 seconds to it. You wanted to go ahead and talk Rousey Carano. So we will do that first. Yeah, I understand it's not MMA. And I understand that Rousey just recently said this week that she is not going back into a professional wrestling ring anytime soon. She's serious about becoming a mother, more kids, et cetera, et cetera. And I salute her for that. That's mm-hmm. her option. Absolutely. She's earned her right to do whatever she wants to do. But that travesty... And people ask me, did I see it on Netflix? I say, yeah, I watched it on Netflix. I made sure to not turn it on until the actual main event started. And I watched 17 seconds and I turned it right off on Netflix. It was a travesty. It was a joke. And the fact that Gina Carano and Rousey are the best of friends before going in and the best, even better best of friends going out made it even worse to watch as far as the laughing and the holding. And I just felt is that though that, you know, if people were actually paying for this fight or if they actually paid tickets for this fight, that they got burned by something that they actually, you know, actually just watched at this travesty of a, you know, I guess a great anticipated event that turned out to be anything but.
Oh, anticipation and capital letters for me. I really like Gina Carano. I thought she was a fantastic fighter back in the day. And I was hook, line, and sinker, ready to watch this. And
I got the popcorn already. And
yeah, I mean, yeah, I had an adult beverage ready to go. I was set in 17 seconds. That's what I got. That's what I got. Mm-hmm. My wife and I both looked at each other and said, that's it. This is the video packages were longer than the actual fight.
The entrance was longer than the actual fight. The announcer in the ring announcing the participants was longer than the actual fight.
Yeah,
it was bad.
I don't know. How do you justify this? Like, if you are Jake Paul and MVP Promotions or whatever it's called, how do you actually go to a press conference? Probably they had one. I'm assuming they had one after the fights and with a straight face talk about how great that fight was. Like there's no conceivable way that you absolutely thought that was a great fight. I mean, look, for years, I have stated that I have a feeling that Dana White on some UFC pay-per-views maybe would go to the main event and go, hey guys, let's try not to get a knockout in the first round. Let's try to stretch this a little bit. I think there was a little bit of manipulation. Not out and out, you're going to throw the fight. Not that, but I have a feeling that there's been a little bit of that. Hey, you know, don't come out guns a-blazing in the first round or the second round. Let's push this a little bit further. If that is true, if my thoughts are true about that, then where was Dana White on that card to tell him to stretch it out? I mean,
Well, that's why I don't think he wanted to touch this fight, to be honest with you. It was because, you know, his promotions, I know that it was offered to UFC first and they turned it down. And I'm beginning to see why, because they had no belief that this was going to be anything other than a farce. But people have a tendency to like this. I mean, we've talked and followed the business in Japan for years, and they love those freak shows. They love these shows where it's, you know, someone from the past going against someone closer to the present, or people of different, you know, sizes going against each other, or they love these battles. In fact, the rest of the card was just, you know, filled with MMA, you know, fighters gone by and all that. And what's even worse was that UFC followed it up the next week with a celebrity boxing thing, as far as it's concerned, making it even worse at the UFC Apex here in Las Vegas. That was a real freak show, as far as it's concerned, where celebrities were fighting against each other and things of that nature, ex-sports athletes fighting against each other. It was a real farce there. But this 17 seconds, again, I already pay my Netflix and watch other stuff on it, so I didn't really have to worry about it. So, but Netflix, it got its 15 million viewers, or however many millions of viewers it got, because I know it got over 10 million viewers. It did its job there. But I just, again, this is straight up Jake Paul's alley, and this doesn't surprise me a bit. And the fact is that we wanted to see it. We wanted to go ahead and see something special, and it just wasn't going to take place. Gina Carano, you know, just, you know, despite the fact she lost so much weight, just looked like she never had a chance in there. She immediately let the arm go and tapped out. You know, we love seeing these type of things. But, you know, I talked about Japan when they were really just would set that up in K1 or, you know, New Japan or whatnot, these different types of matchups as far as you would never see on a regular basis. This is not out of the norm, my friend. This, you should not be surprised at what happened, especially look at who was promoting it.
I know, but I had high hopes. I mean, that's what I said originally, is that I had a lot of anticipation that this was actually going to be a good fight, and I was let down. You know what? I wouldn't have even minded if it lasted 2 or 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Because then I could say, okay, but 17, the minute you grabbed the arm, I was like, and then the tap, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. But I don't know. What did Carano get for the fight? Did she get like a million?
She got a mil. I think she got a million, between a million and a million and a half. I know that Rousey got 2 to 2.5 million or more, so is reported. I see a floating around. I see a lot of twos when we're reporting for her, as far as it's concerned. I see a lot of ones. So, you know, 17 seconds, get $1 million, then laugh it up with your buddy at the end. Not a bad day's work.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get that type of work.
I was telling you, let's do it, man. Let's set it for July or August, and we'll do it. We'll call Jake Paul and says, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. There you go.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
The fix will be in for sure.
Okay. Can I make a request that we get a different ring announcer? Because that guy was annoying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's no problem. That's no problem indeed. But it is, of course, the State of Pro Wrestling. Go ahead and make sure you catch us on all our great outlets. And, of course, whenever we're here at the Pop Culture Cosmos and, of course, the PBD cast as well. My friend, there's still much more to talk about on the, well, actually, you can't say real format because it is pro wrestling, mind you. I did want to hear your thoughts, though, as we head into what's going on as far as a busy weekend last weekend and a busy weekend this weekend, with what we're seeing with AEW's Double or Nothing and Saturday Night's Main Event last weekend. And then, of course, also as well, we're seeing Clash of Italy this weekend, my friend. Your thoughts, though, first off, with AEW Double or Nothing. Let's start with that. People are ranting and raving about this. I saw it. I thought the Christian and Edge and Christian match was really good. I know that it's something that they were able to hearken back and bring something out of themselves to go ahead and gut it out for one great match. The MJF match versus Darby Allin match. Yes, MJF has regained his title. Yes, Will Ospreay has advanced in the Owen Hart tournament, so it's going to lead to those two meeting up at All In. We get it. We understand it. But I don't know. The match between Darby Allin and MJF was fine, was good, but there seemed to be a little bit something lacking there out of some, you know, a guy who's trying to emulate himself like Cactus Jack and kill himself at every opportunity. But your thoughts on AEW Double or Nothing? People are praising it as the greatest AEW pay-per-view or PLE ever. I've seen maybe one or two better on that, but still, overall, it was a really good, really strong AEW outing.
Yeah, I think it was pretty decent. I think Will Ospreay and Samoa Joe, to me, that was the match of the night. I felt like that had a good story behind it. The stakes were set, that they were pretty high. Darby and MJF, I'll give credit. I thought the match was okay, but I will give credit because for a little bit, just for a little bit, there were some times where I thought MJF may do it. He may do it. He may just appreciate wrestling so much that he might take the fall and lose the hair, which that was one of the stipulations. But I'm glad to see him with the title back because, you know, Darby Allin, he's popular. He's got the fans.
Well, let's talk about his run. He had a run. People are praising his month-long run, going at it three times a week. I'm like, that they used to do that back in the 80s and 90s when a world champion would be wrestling multiple times a week. But his hardcore matches, his hardcore style, brought out really good and sometimes strong matches. That match with Tommaso Ciampa, I think, was the best match of all of those matches. Personally, if you get a chance to see that or have got a chance to see that on AEW Dynamite, that one I liked the most, but all of them were pretty solid. But again, you know, seeing him and we talked about this before with Darby Allin last month in regards to him as a believable champion, a hybrid of Rey Mysterio's size and Cactus Jack's willingness to entertain to the point of hurting himself. So let me ask you this. Overall, what did you think of his AEW world title run?
Ooh, well, I got to be honest. I did not see the Tommaso Ciampa match. I have not seen that. So that I'll say that on the forefront. I don't know. I think it's a mixed bag, Gerald.
I just don't think it was the right time, personally.
Yeah.
I think that the MJF should have kept the title and should have been kept strong leading into All In. Him doing that match with Darby Allin the way he did where he lost in the first place still to this day irks me. The fact that he had to roll. Did you actually see that?
Yeah.
He actually rolled four different directions so he could take the coffin drop all four ways so he could just lose in a matter of what, 3-4 minutes, and that was it. And again, I would not have, if you want to go ahead and celebrate Darby Allin, that's fine. I just didn't think that was the time to do it. I just thought that you should do it at a different point in time. If you want to do the Cactus Jack, give him a world title run because you appreciate him killing himself for all these years and doing it. And then they realized with WWE that Cactus Jack, aka Mick Foley, actually was really good at what he did and deserved more opportunities at a world title. But you know, I understand the career appreciation for AEW in Darby Allin, but I just don't think it should have been right there in the middle of what a momentum run for MJF should have been.
Right. Now I'll go back to what you just said a few moments ago, that the whole MJF Darby Allin just seemed to not have any real backstory to it. It's just, we're just doing this. That's how we're going to do it. And, you know, who did MJF wrap up with? Paige first. He wrapped up with Paige and then went to Darby Allin. So yeah, to me, I just feel like there's no real story behind it. So made it a little bit more, I don't know, challenging to get behind it. But like I said, I will give the devil his due. For a few moments there, several different sections of that match, I thought maybe that this would be the end for MJF and he would have to lose that hair.
Absolutely. And again, it's a nice story of Darby Allin. I just wouldn't have done it then. I just would have found a different place in the world championship. Because MJF, you know, whether he wins or loses, is going to go ahead at some point in time and go back to Hollywood and be gone for an extended stay. So then you could have told that story with Darby Allin for a title run at that point in time, but they chose not to, or have him beat Will Ospreay. I think that would have been even mm-hmm. more impressive as far as that's concerned, but it has to always be against MJF. The more of those losses that he gets, the weaker he looks, which is absolutely not what you want to do for the guy that's probably the best face of your company in MJF, which is disappointing indeed. But he has the title back now. Again, it was a good match. I will give it that. I just, again, it when it comes right down to it, MJF needs momentum going into All In, and I'm not sure he's going to have it.
Well, it's true. And then you have to wonder, what do you do with Darby Allin now that he lost that world title?
Hopefully give him a vacation to rest up, or an extended stay in a cryogenic chamber, or a hypothermic bath or something like that, an ice bath or something like that. So.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who they decide to pair up with Darby as they go into Wembley.
At least you can look to Mick Foley, who now works for AEW, as someone who was told he would never walk past 40. I think was it the old thing. I think it was walk past 40. I mean, he's 60 and he's still moving around at least.
Yeah. And I mean, look, we saw another one of those hellacious bumps from Darby in that match where he, you know, kind of got quote hip tossed end quote through the ropes onto the floor. And the way he landed was really, really awkward, but the guy manages to bounce back. He's got some unbelievable healing factor. I would say on par with Wolverine, maybe.
I'll just leave it to you with this, my friend. Okay. If you remember watching that match, if you and I are having that kind of a match, we're having a grudge match, we hate each other, blah, 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 blah. And you turn the steps over to its side and then you get me in a package pile driver. And then you do the package pile driver, which I believe legitimately hurt MJF on his lower back. Mm-hmm. If you saw him grab it, as far as that's concerned, it was obviously protecting Darby Allin. But if you're getting a package pile, giving me a package pile driver on the side of the steps, I'm selling that. They did not sell that. I don't know if anybody realized that, but they did not sell that at all. In the 80s, 90s, 2000s, you know, you package pile drive me on the side of the steps, John, I'm dead. You can mm-hmm. count the three. But now you just move on to the next spot.
You know what? I'd like to just throw it out there. That's the one thing I do appreciate about Penta is that the Mexican Destroyer is the finish. Like, I don't think of anybody. I mean, I could be wrong. And the folks, you can shoot me a message and tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone's ever kicked out of that in the WWE.
Good. It was a good match with him and Ethan Page on Saturday night's main event. They did a really good job. Ethan Page may end up out of that new group that was raised up, be possibly the one that has the most success. I know that we were deciding which one of mm-hmm. that group would have the most success out of it. And maybe Ethan Page. I still think Blake Monroe, but with Tiffany Stratton there, I don't know, because they're both very similar as far as their aesthetics are concerned. So I will leave it at this with AEW Double or Nothing. You've got Forbidden Door, I believe, coming up next. And then you have All In after that. I think that's the way it's done, if that's the case. But All In is around the corner. The Owen Hart tournament with Will Ospreay is going to be happening as far as him winning. We all know where it's pointing to. But the sales are way down for All In London. And I don't know what at this point, you know, they had to have momentum. They don't have momentum. And with Jon Moxley coaching Will Ospreay, giving that aura, for lack of a better term, to that, and MJF just barely getting the title back. I don't know. I just don't know where this is going and why they did in the first place. It was better to just have them both have just sheer momentum going in.
And then we also have to figure out and add to the mix, so to speak, some of the wacky decisions that seems to plague AEW as they start to build for Forbidden Door, or they start to build for All In. Are we going to keep it like understandable, the storylines, or are we going to convolute things, Tony? That's what I want to know.
My guess would be the latter and not the former, and I'll leave it at that. But if you guys have thoughts out there on AEW Double or Nothing or Saturday Night's Main Event, a really good main event between Penta, that wasn't the main event, Penta and Ethan Page. The rest of the night, I'll leave it as filler, and I'll just leave it at that. I wish I could have seen more, wish I could have seen better, something different. I think Saturday Night's Main Event does not have the same luster, or I think they're just filling out whatever it is they need to fill out with Peacock, and that be it. But I would certainly hate to see Saturday Night's Main Event go, because I think Saturday Night's Main Event, under the right usage, brought in the right format and context, and kept in the right light, could be something that they could continually use down the road at the WWE.
Yeah, and it seems like just those matches that were on Saturday Night's Main Event, we're going to get a dose of some of them at Clash in Italy. And so I got to get bored when it's the same matchup and it's just not really that intriguing to begin with. Like, for an example, I'm really not sold on Sol Ruka and Becky Lynch. There's just something about that matchup that I just feel like Becky's doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and it's shows.
Let me ask you this. Becky Lynch, if she doesn't have a good match with Sol Ruka, are we going to start saying it's Sol Ruka and Lyra Valkyria and Maxine Dupri? Or are we just going to start, we have to start saying at some point in time, is it not Becky Lynch able as the veteran to lift these girls up to a decent match?
That's a great question, Gerald. I never thought of it, to be honest with you. I never thought of it that way.
At what point do you start saying, because, you know, she has great matches. You put Flair or Asuka in there, she'll have a great match. You put someone else in there.
Yeah. No, you make a valid point. I never thought of it that way, but you're right. It could be the other part of the equation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if Io Sky, she starts a program with Becky Lynch, we're forgetting about all this because Io Sky will probably give her a really good match, or a veteran in there, as far as the Natty Neidhart, you know, or some solid veteran out there, but put someone even just a little bit on the younger side or greener side per se. And what does that say to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Well, are you looking forward to Clash in Italy? Cause that's coming up this weekend coming up.
Yep, it is, my friend. I'm looking about forward to it, as I did the pasta I just made before. That took me a little bit longer as far as that's concerned. With Clash of Italy, of course, the retirement, non-retirement, no. Could be retirement, might still be retirement, in regards to, of course, one Brock Lesnar versus Obafemi. Then you have Cody Rhodes versus Gunther. You have Roman Reigns in a tribal match with Jacob Fatu. You have Rhea Ripley and Jade Cargill and Becky Lynch, like you said, and Sol Ruka. You have those great matches, but I don't know. I just don't see any zing to it. The Gunther winning the world title could do something with it, but I don't know. What was the purpose of being a legend killer? I don't know. And at the end of the day, if he ends up losing to Cody Rhodes, what is the end goal of this deal that you're doing with Gunther?
That's a very good question. And the, you know, you mentioned it, as I just said real quick, about you know, how time and time again.
Go ahead.
And you know, and that's I was just saying that, you know, I mentioned we get the same matchups, that it's boring, and Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar, that whole thing, that whole storyline is ridiculously dumb. Like, why can't people retire and just be done with pro wrestling? Like, I guess, because it makes no sense that he's coming back, but he's retired. Meaning what? What does that mean? You know, the vignette they had for Brock, it's like, what does that mean? Does that mean that this is a non-sanctioned match, or as you said, what pizzazz can you add to this?
Terry Funk retired how many times? So really, should we be arguing that point anyways on retirement? You know, kind of ruined it for every other wrestler. I will just say, God rest his soul, one of the greatest to ever do it, Terry Funk. But you know, he kind of like burned the bridges of retirement. So at this point, can I really argue with what they're doing? I don't know what they're doing at retirement. I'm assuming because SummerSlam is in Minneapolis, a lot of speculation is that will actually be his last match. So yeah, I'll leave you for that. But then why do this in the first place? If that's the case, I just don't know. You know, as far as the whole thing at WrestleMania and this, you know, coming out of retirement, quote unquote, I don't know. I don't get it with this, and you know, as far as Brock Lesnar, it'll be fun. Just have a rematch. What do you know?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that itself work for it?
Well, and then didn't we already see something that was very chaotic and no holds barred at Mania when it was Fatu versus Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
this is now tribal warfare. That's different.
Yeah. Someone explain to me how it's different, please. Like,
wouldn't it have been
know.
So great if they did the thing that they did in those couple times in Japanese match where they actually fought on the island?
Yes, that would have been awesome. Was that All Japan or New Japan? I don't remember.
I think it was New Japan. If I remember, I watched it a few months back. One of the matches, from the way past. But yeah, that would be right there. That's tribal warfare right there. That would be to me something really cool right there. But yeah. It's just another match. It's just another match. But again, it's about as stale as the booking is right now in WWE. It is Clash in Italy. I'm not excited for it. But again, if Gunther wins, we'll see what happens. Roman Reigns is going to continue on. That's just about as boring as what it was in 2017 and 2018 for me. So I'll just leave it at that. I mean, you've already just put everybody else down, like LA Knight and Sami Zayn and other mid to upper mid card individuals, so far down that nobody seemingly will have a chance to beat Roman Reigns unless he wants to go do an acting gig. So yeah, at this point in time, it's kind of boring. It's kind of dull. Dull. And that's the problem. These summer months are when they lose a lot of luster in the WWE. So we'll see what happens indeed.
What do you think, real quickly, and what do you think of Fatu's future? Do you think Jacob Fatu's got a world title run in?
I think he had. You lose against Roman. It reminds me so much of what happened with Roman Reigns and, you know, how he disposed of Bryan Danielson and, you know, Edge all at the same time. And you know, he dragged them there and it destroyed both of them in the same swoop. And yeah, that killed them both for quite some time. And I don't know, Jacob Fatu, if he keeps on losing, he's just going to be seen at a certain level. And that's the problem. Anybody who has that type of momentum, you've got to embrace it. And WWE does not do that. We talked about LA Knight. We talked about Sami Zayn. We talked about individuals who had that moment in the spotlight where people were really behind him, but you are so set on acknowledge me. It's so boring. It's so tedious. And it's so, you know, all that. It's just there. And the problem is, do you want just there or do you want something exciting the fans need to look into week after week after week? Raw and SmackDown are no longer appointment viewing once again. And that's a problem. When it doesn't become appointment viewing for me, that's a problem. That's a real problem, John.
Well, I think the other problem too is, you know, Raw was here in my hometown of Columbus, Ohio. And I had friends looking at tickets and tickets are out of this world. Like the tickets that they purchased a year or so ago were double that this time around. And I know we've talked a lot about TKO and their salesmanship, if you want to call it that, or whatever term you want to slap on it. But, you know, we've talked about that is another problem that I think the WWE is going to have to watch, especially over the summer months. Maybe this might be the time period where folks start checking out of the WWE product, and maybe that might cause TKO to rethink some of their business endeavors.
Well, we'll wait and see, my friend, but it is Clash in Italy this weekend. If you have thoughts on it as far as who will win, who should win, and who should be brought into the mix, please let us know your thoughts right there at, of course, the Pop Culture Cosmos and, of course, the PBD cast as well. But there's still much more to talk about on today's show, my friend. I wanted to go ahead and discuss New Japan being sold. It was sold this week. I know that it's a bigger story over in Japan, but with Bushiroad, who still owns Stardom, by the way, they sold New Japan Pro Wrestling to TV Asahi and Cyber Agent. The Cyber Agent, who will have a interest in this new venture with New Japan Pro Wrestling, owns or controls Pro Wrestling Noah, DDT Pro Wrestling, and Tokyo Joshi Pro. So how are they going to integrate those wrestling leagues into New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is obviously the upper echelon, the higher profile of their portfolio per se with TV Asahi. So I ask you, my friend, with TV Asahi, as far as the concern with New Japan Pro Wrestling, there has been somewhat of a interest back into it after the really low parts of 2010s, but it just still New Japan. We saw the retirement at the Tokyo Dome, I think of Hiroshi Tanahashi, do huge numbers at the Tokyo Dome this past January. And New Japan does still have a great interest from fans out there. I don't think it has reached the heights of what it did in the 90s and 2000s. I think that that it's still the most popular of all the wrestling organizations in Japan right now. But I think there's still a ways to go. But when you're owned by now predominantly a TV company, you have to make note of how they'll actually treat the product going forward. Because we've seen pro wrestling organizations that have been owned by a TV outlet, i.e. Ring of Honor, to start off with. That's the name, first one off my head. And it hasn't gone so well after the promise that it could have been in regards to that. So your thoughts, my friend, on the sale of New Japan Pro Wrestling, if this will increase the visibility going forward for Japanese wrestling, because I think Japanese wrestling is still very much needed as far as is concerned, as far as not only for the culture of pro wrestling, but the future of pro wrestling and stars created from that. Just take a look at the WWE in recent years at the influx of Japanese stars and AEW influx of Japanese stars to both of those organizations. Your thoughts, my friend, on the future of New Japan Pro Wrestling under the new owners and away from Bushiroad?
Well, I'm going to be honest. This was a news story that slipped through the cracks with me. When you said it wasn't really promoted a lot or talked about a lot here in America, I would agree with you on that statement. Here's my thing. You have all of the Cyber Agent and TV. How's that pronounced?
Asahi.
You have those two entities having, DDT Pro, Tokyo Joshi, New Japan. How are you going to balance all those different companies is my question. You're going to have sound leadership. And I don't know who all is in the front offices of those companies, but you're going to have somebody that's really strong and very creative to get all of those companies to be kind of on their own path, but yet still doing good business. I don't know if that's a possibility. What's the possibility of maybe just DDT getting raided from all the talent that New Japan wants and then just kicking them to the curb? What's the odds of that happening?
Well, again, like you said, that's a good point, because TV Asahi could just say, we want, we integrate all this talent from the other organizations, just put them there and just fold the other ones as far as it's concerned. That's a definite possibility as far as, like you said, pick and choose which talent goes to, because New Japan is the highest profile. It's like, it would be as if the WWE got purchased by Netflix. who already owned TNA and NXT. Let's just put it that way in context. And as far as it's concerned, and WWE would then raid NXT and TNA, and just for the best of the best of those. And then you could probably see Netflix just saying, you know what, we're just going to cancel TNA and NXT after that. That's a real possibility, my friend. That's a real possibility. And again, with New Japan, you know, they've dipped their toe in the waters in recent years here in the States for a selected number of shows. I don't ever see them getting or flirting with anything other than that going forward. I think that they would just be kidding themselves if they tried to do that as far as it's concerned, because they just don't have the coverage of television with here in the States or in worldwide that they do in Japan with TV Asahi and what they have on the internet with New Japan World. But like you said, what's to stop them now from just picking and choosing which stars to do that and not just going ahead and folding up a DDT or a NOAH or something like that?
Yeah, and you know, let's be honest, we've talked about how New Japan, kind of their talent roster is maybe not the strongest that it's ever been. You know, it's been a little weak, a little bit shabby. So that's why I felt like that would probably be the best option that they're going to do, pick and choose who they want. And then whoever's left over, sorry about your luck, but you got to go elsewhere. You know, I also agree with you. They've tried and tried and tried for many, many years to get a foothold in America. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to take. And I think that definitely also plays into something here. I mean, TV Asahi.
Asahi.
Okay. Yeah. Asahi. Are they big enough to want to have maybe something?
Well, they're one of the predominant networks in Japan.
Okay. So they coming over here and maybe starting their own channel, would that be something in the cards? I mean,
I don't think they would do it that way. Maybe they would do it through, like, you know, you buying a channel on, you know, like
Roku or something.
Yeah, Roku or smart TVs, which is a way you can cheaply get it done through now, but them buying out, let's say, a Univision or something like that, or even a cable, television station that's on regular cable, you know, A&E or whatnot. I don't see that happening as far as it's concerned, just to promote their wrestling product.
Okay.
All right. They could buy time on an A&E. That's a possibility for.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. If they could get some type of deal like that, would that hinder? In fact, I mean, I'm sure too they could do some type of advertisement cross promotion with somebody and do some promoting that way, like they've done in the past. I mean, that still has legs, for an example. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few months with New Japan.
Because TNA, what do they do right now? Average right around 200,000, I guess, for on their new. Lease on Life on television, they average 200,000 viewers per episode. Is a rough estimate as far as it was. Sometimes it's the high ones, sometimes the low twos. I mean, that would be if TV Asahi said, okay, we're going to buy time in America on a, you know, whatever station to do that. I think that's the high bar, is looking at 200,000 viewers for that at the most. And if you do that, that's still a problem, because that's not enough to support a, you know, like going on a house show tour of the States with only that kind of support. I just think it's going to be more Japan-based and decisions of the Japan-based, like you said. And going forward, TV Asahi and Cyber Agent are going to decide probably which of those four or five pro wrestling organizations that they have, which ones are going to stay alive and which ones are going to be folded, and which ones are going to be out and out for the count.
Which, again, stinks for those talented men and women who really are busting their humps over there in Japan to make a name for themselves, to do what they love. And, you know, it's like I say almost every single episode, I want people to be successful in the business because I love the business. I want AEW to be successful. I want TNA to be successful. I want even the NWA to be successful, because it gives people more places to work.
I agree, my friend. So if you have thoughts out there on the sale of New Japan Pro Wrestling to TV Asahi and Cyber Agent, Please let us know right there at the Pop Culture Cosmos down below in the comments, or also as well on the PVD cast as well. But there's still a little bit more to talk about before we head on out, my friend. And the area, which is still doing good, that's governed by WWE, is AAA. Mm-hmm. There's still so much to talk about. There's still excitement when you talk about, again, wrestling in Mexico is still hot. CMLL is still selling out and still doing incredible numbers. Mystico hopefully will be back. You know, he had an injury, which is his problem in the WWE, was that he was always getting injured. And he has, I think, an injury that should be back like in a week or two from. But, you know, he has obviously helped boost CMLL to a spotlight and garnered himself, he's rehabilitated from the Sin Cara era, as far as it's concerned, into a point where he is now considered one of the best in the world at what he does. But in AAA, they've created some exciting scenarios as well. And it's so funny because Americano versus Americano, it's so much more exciting to see and watch in AAA, but when they try to recreate or do anything of that in the WWE, nobody gives a darn to it, man. It just crosses the border. Exciting, boring, exciting, boring, exciting. So it just seems like, you know, it's a booking thing. When you want to talk about the examples of WWE booking and storytelling, look no further than that, my friend. That will give you all the impetus in the world to go ahead and say, you know what? There's the shining example of what they're doing right in creating stories and what they're doing wrong in creating stories as well. And again, Americano versus Americano in AAA, it's leading into a mask versus mask match. It was almost upended because of a pending charge against Ludwig Kaiser, who has gone to court over it, but he is able to go ahead and travel to Mexico. If you hear the circumstances around it, defending his girlfriend, who is, the interviewer for AAA that he's involved with. I still thought he was with Tiffany Stratton, but I guess not. So your thoughts, my friend, Americano versus Americano, original versus the much beloved, new, improved. He's a heel in WWE, but he's a big time face in Mexico. Your thoughts on this Chad Gable versus Ludwig Kaiser, Americano versus Americano matchup. And is it weird in AAA that this is in Mexico, that these two guys who are not, I don't believe, of Hispanic origin, unless they've done something I don't know about, are the guys that are selling AAA right now?
Hey, I got to say, it's been a great storyline. And I agree with you. It seems really, really weird about the heel face scenario with those two. I really am impressed with what they're doing with AAA, because from what I've understood and what clips I've seen, it seems that AAA is a very tightly run ship for the YouTube channel. Okay. So I'm impressed with that. I think that this is going to be a great matchup. My only gripe is there are other matches on the card, and they actually feature some, I guess, American, I'll use that in quotes, WWE talent. Bayley is involved in a six woman matchup.
War Raiders.
Yeah. What a perfect way to use those guys if they're under contract. Why the WWE doesn't do that more? LA Knight, send him down to AAA. Maybe he could become the mega champion and show everyone, you know, that he's got it. I mean, I just feel like why they do great things with Americano versus Americano, there's more that could still be cultivated. And why can't we get I'm not saying put these matches on Raw. I'm just saying, like, hey, when you do the rundown about the matches or about that match coming up, Americano versus Americano, that you don't go, hey, by the way, there's also this match, and this match. And if you haven't seen Vikingo, you need to see this guy, blah, 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 blah. Like, a little more hype, I think, would help out that event.
I agree, my friend. I agree. And I mean, it's for Noche de los Grandes. It's going to be happening here in a couple days as we record this. It is El Grande Americano versus the original El Grande Americano mask. It's just so wild that people in Mexico getting so crazy about American versus American when one of them actually isn't American in the first place in Ludwig Kaiser. You got to realize it. And neither one, again, Americans are usually the heels. When they go to Mexico, but El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. Versus El Hijo del Vikingo for the AAA Latin American Championship. That one is I want to watch as well. Laredo Kid versus Rey Fénix for the World Cruiserweight Championship. I think that one's going to be a good one. And Pagano and Psycho Clown versus the War Raiders. So that's the matchup for Noche de los Grandes. That's what they're looking forward to. But AAA seems to be doing well story wise, crowd wise, they seem to be doing well. It just Undertaker and Jeremy Borash, who are, I guess, in charge of the creative down there, they're doing a pretty solid job. And Jeremy Borash's name, he doesn't get mentioned often enough because how he went almost seemingly into hiding when he went from TNA to WWE. It just seemingly disappeared behind the scenes, but he's still there and doing some good work with AAA, it seems.
You said the Undertaker's booking AAA?
Mm-hmm. That is
great. Wow, I did not know that. Well, he's doing a great job. Let's give credit where credit is due to Taker. He's doing.
I believe there is a little bit more of a booking committee involved, but those are the two names that are prominently mentioned.
Okay. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, again, kudos to AAA and CMLL. As you said, they're still selling out all the arenas that they go to. Do you think culturally there's something about Mexican wrestling, Lucha Libre, that makes a difference? I guess I'm looking at how to describe it. I just want to know, do you think the cultural differences?
It is based very much more cultural than it is here in the States, where the States, it has to be storytelling and it has to be a good story that grips the large basis of American fans, because it is touch and go, because if it doesn't stay that way, a lot of the casual fans will leave American wrestling. Whereas, like you said, in more cultural based Mexico with Lucha Libre, they are more tolerant of the ups and downs of storytelling. They don't have to do a whole lot extenuating. They stick to the basics more often in their storytelling than what the Americans do. And it's less hit or miss, and it's usually right on the money. They usually are there are easily reachable goals when you storytell in Mexican Lucha Libre wrestling, as far as rudos versus the faces versus do you bring in Americans to be a heel, etc. And when you do so, they're very easy to attain goals as far as what the fans want to see in Lucha Libre. They're very particular about what they want, and AAA and CMLL are doing their best as far as providing that type of environment for them. And, it has been hotter than it has been in recent years, but still there's always been a cultural base and a following for what we've seen in Lucha Libre.
Okay. Cause I agree with you. I think that the history of Lucha Libre is much more ingrained in society, and they take it seriously. Yeah. I mean, I say they take it seriously, even when you have comedy wrestlers like Mr. Iguana. You know, again, as we've seen before many, many times, a little bit of comedy is never a bad thing in pro wrestling.
That's what we'll talk about here before we end the show.
Okay. All right.
But yes, what are your thoughts out there on Lucha Libre right now, AAA and CMLL, as AAA goes into a major show with Americano versus Americano? Even a Ludwig Kaiser is, I don't believe... was born and raised in the U.S. But again, it is Americano versus Americano. And pending any legal trouble, it should go off without a hitch here in a couple of days. But what are your thoughts out there? Please let us know. And it seemingly looks like Chad Gable will be the one that will lose. Because Chad Gable, I do believe, still has a future with the WWE without the mask. But Ludwig Kaiser, this has been a blessing in disguise. So We'll see what happens for Americano versus Americano in AAA. But if you have any thoughts on Lucha Libre and Mexican wrestling, please let us know at the PVD Cast or the Pop Culture Cosmos indeed. But before we head on out, my friend, a recent interview by Cody Rhodes kind of like got me actually, you know, raised an eyebrow because he stated, he said what we already knew on last month's show. And that right now, the hottest merchandise seller in the WWE, and you can just say for the entire pro wrestling world, is none other than Danhausen, my friend. And Danhausen, he continues to get out there. He correctly predicted, as far as our curse, the Cavaliers, as far as it's concerned, and the Knicks won in a sweep. We'll see if that curse continues when he inevitably curses the San Antonio Spurs or the Oklahoma City Thunder coming up here. We'll see what happens. But it's been a massive win for the WWE. And again, I just got to say, again, Tony Khan, you had him there. You had him for a while, and you did nothing with him. You just made him into a wrestler. Into a slight comedy wrestler, but you tried to make him just into another wrestler, and you had no clue what to do with him. And it just goes to show you, when you actually take a moment to see what this character is, it works. Sometimes it works. I mean, WWE is certainly far from perfect, far from perfect, far from perfect. I will stress that, but they get it right every now and again. And they hit the mother load. They hit the jackpot with Danhausen, who is just selling merch like crazy. And the fact is, he's selling it to the right people, to the younger audiences, to the families, to try and still bring them in because they want to see him, because he brings something to them. Not to us, John. Not to the old fogies, or not to the guys that have been watching this for years that still don't get it, because I still see a lot of complaints at what he's doing with the bringing up, you know, creating a monster type deal. What it doesn't, we don't need to get it. It's bad and it looks terrible. We get it. I understand it to the wrestling purists out there. It's not about you. It's about selling to a younger and different marketplace. And the WWE is doing just that.
And you know what? I would say to all those fuddy duddies, if you will, that were, oh, Danhausen's,
they're still doing it.
But this is the same people that don't think back to 1983 when you had a Frankenstein wrestler in Memphis. Like, how ridiculous is that?
And that's, or the Jim Herd era with the Ding Dongs and the Mummy, yeah. And I get that. But you know, and a lot of people were moaning and groaning, John, when in 1984 Hulk Hogan beat the Iron Sheik and then went and, you know, they did what they did, the WWE, to present itself in a certain manner that upended the entire wrestling world. But ultimately that worked out, didn't it?
Yeah. Look, Danhausen is just fantastic. And you took everything I was going to mention. He's being marketed to the young, the kids, the teenagers. And because you're marketing to the kids and that's being successful, the parents are getting aboard. You know, the parents are like, well, let's see what Johnny's watching, you know. Oh, who's this guy? He looks kind of like a demented Dracula, you know. And he's hitting on all cylinders. And I just hope that they continue to allow him the freedom to be himself, to be that character of Danhausen. You know, again, kudos to him. Another fine example of Tony Khan just messing things up. He could have been. I mean, the only thing I remember Danhausen doing was he was in a tag team with Hook, right? Like, that's the only thing I remember. And that didn't last more than a few weeks, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Danhausen, tip of the hat to you, sir. You're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Absolutely.
I love watching it. I can't wait to see when they advertise that Danhausen's going to be on. I can't wait to see. And real quickly, what about the New York Knicks shirts? You talk about the merchandise, the New York Knicks shirts with Danhausen on them. Have you seen those?
I've seen only limited numbers, but they're selling like hotcakes as well. And,
of course. You know,
when I see Danhausen get his wish and he's sitting in the front row next between Kylie Jenner and Timothée Chalamet, That's when I know that they're going to take it for real, as far as how far he's gotten with it. But the only thing I fear is this Frankenstein monster is the rumored Baron Corbin return that I dread so much. The man who I quoted as being the most boring wrestler in wrestling. So yeah, there's that. But again, if Danhausen can't make him entertaining, then no one can. We'll put the test right there, my friend. But Oh my, indeed. But Danhausen, he deserves all the credit in the world, because remember, he toiled in the indies with this gimmick now for years, and he has made it work. And the thing is, WWE just gave him a platform, but he is the reason why it's working. And all the credit to him, indeed. But before we head on out, my friend, got 2 minutes left. What's going on at the PVD Cast and Matt Talk for you, my friend?
Well, the PVD Cast is, of course, my own podcasting project where I sit down with lots of cool folks and guests and chat with them about their projects, their what they got going on and whatnot. I just wrapped up a week of an episode involving a comic book creator called Joel Kramer. And it's funny, we mentioned Danhausen and the kids and whatnot. Joel was most known for doing a very kid-friendly comic book. And Gerald, he's switching. He's going to now have a book that's a little more adult. So we talk about the pros and cons of that and then talk about the project itself. It's available at pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts. And of course, this episode, this very episode, is going to show up this week as the episode in an audio format and a video format. So there you go. If you missed out, if you missed out, and you didn't watch, then how do you know I'm gonna? Never mind. Anyways, I'm making it more complicated than it needed to be. But anyways, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening at pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts.
That's the PVD Cast and Matt Talk. Please go ahead and support him on both of those great channels, indeed. And I'm, of course, on the Pop Culture Cosmos and also as well all my other stuff relating to the Los Angeles Lakers and Inside Sports Fantasy Football as well. But again, John, great to have you here. We got the win. We got the easy pin. No, it took longer than 17 seconds, but I'll tell you what, it really is still great to have you here. John Orlando from the PVD Cast, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. We'll be back next month again for you with some more great topics on the world of pro wrestling right here on the State of Pro Wrestling from the PVD Cast and the Pop Culture Cosmos. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Gerald Glassford and yours truly talking about the state of pro wrestling, giving our input, giving our insight, giving our opinions, whatever you want to say to the news stories that have happened in the world of wrestling over the past couple of weeks. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And you can let me know one way or the other if you did enjoy or maybe you didn't enjoy this episode. Let me tell you how you could get in touch with me. First off, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me still on Twitter at my personal Twitter handle of @PVDMVP. You can even drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, or Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. Now, maybe you also want to let some folks know where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best place to get every single new episode of the show. But the PVDcast is also available through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, put in the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it and you should find it. And while we're talking about those outlets and apps, let's make sure that we are helping me out by rating and reviewing. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it's very important for podcasters and those outlets and apps to know that you are listening to the show. And while you're at it, you might as well just go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. But there's even another simpler way to check out the show, and that is every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast through the Facebook page. Once again, that's @PVDcast. And so there's three very easy ways to hear the show: pvdcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, or Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.